Mermaid Singing by Charmian Clift, read by Josie Taylor for Saga Egmont. About the author. Charmian Clift was born in Kiama, New South Wales, on the 31st of August 1923. She became a journalist on the Melbourne Argus newspaper after the war, and in 1947 married novelist and journalist George Johnston. Early in their marriage, they collaborated on three novels: High Valley, which won the Sydney Morning Herald Prize in 1948, The Big Chariot, and The Sponge Divers. Then, in 1954, having lived in London for the previous few years, they took their family to live in the Greek islands. During this period, Charmian wrote two accounts of their life there, Mermaid Singing and Peel Me a Lotus, and two novels, Honor's Mimic and Walk to the Paradise Gardens. In 1964, the family returned to Australia, and Charmian began writing a weekly newspaper column, which quickly gained a wide and devoted readership. She died in 1969. Polly Sampson is an author, lyricist, and a fellow of the Royal Society of Literature. Her most recent novel, the best-selling A Theatre for Dreamers, features Charmian Clift as one of the central characters. For My Mother, Amy Lila Clift. Mermaid Singing by Charmian Clift. In the winter of 1954, writers Charmian Clift and George Johnston left London with their children to live by their wits and their typewriters on a Greek island. Kalymnos, one of the Dodecanese, the dozen dry islands scattered along the coast of Turkey, like the fragments of a Greek plate smashed in an international domestic, would not have been their first choice. Stony and rough though it was, the couple needed a story, and Kalymnos offered an extraordinary and tragic one. It was an island almost entirely dependent on its sponge fishing fleets. A population of 14,000 people relied on just a few brave men, divers who risked their lives fishing for sponges off the coast of Africa for 7 months of each year. There was little other industry. Mass tourism hadn't yet been invented, and the popularity of synthetic sponges was killing the market for real ones and impoverishing the island. Already celebrated back home in Australia, where their first collaborative novel had won the prestigious Sydney Morning Herald Prize, Clift and Johnston had been in London for 4 years, part of the diaspora of Australasian talent that enriched the cultural life of the 50s and 60s. They had published a couple of collaborative novels to good reviews, taken tea at Faber's offices with T.S. Eliot. They lived in a flat provided by George Johnston's employers in a red brick mansion opposite the Russian embassy in Bayswater. Their London friends numbered many artists, Sidney Nolan, Colin Colahan, and Cedric Flowers among them. They drank cocktails with Peter Finch, Laurence Olivier, and Joe Orton, and bashed away at their typewriters late into the night. George Johnston had become dispirited working on Fleet Street. One of Australia's star war reporters, he had trotted the globe, walked with Gandhi and the Ganges, met the Dalai Lama, witnessed the Japanese surrender ceremony from a ship, and was one of the first to visit Hiroshima in the aftermath of the atomic bomb. The work he was being asked to write and wire back to Australia was increasingly tittle-tattle about the royal family or the size of film stars' breasts. Clift was frustrated too. It was a period in which she later described herself as feeling she was losing her identity. There wasn't a scrap of time for her own writing. She was backstopping with the children and researching at the British Museum reading room, dashing down notes for the books that she and George wrote together once he got home. Late at night, if she glanced out of the tall window across the dark shadows, she'd see the outlines of all the trees in Kensington Gardens that her children were not allowed to climb. She writes of George Johnston needing Benzedrine to stay awake, barbiturates to sleep, and the inexorably circling fingers of 1,000 clocks spinning our lives away. Princess Margaret was on the front pages, smog hung around. Charmian Clift was a year past 30 to her husband's 42.